Thank you, ladies. Please stand together and grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. By the way, we look forward to a very exciting fall. We're in the fall. How many like it that it's cooling off a little bit? You like that? Man, I like the fall. I know some of you folks from the Midwest and the North, you say, this isn't fall. Where's all the colorful trees and all that? Well, couples of trees coming up. You can go to Big Bear and you can see the colorful trees and see some snow. We look forward to having the Millers here. The girls were just saying, Lord, bless our home. The Millers are musicians, and they sing as a family. And I want to, and I mentioned this in our, I think our faithfulness rally yesterday. Let's all serve the Lord together as a family. And those of us, maybe some of us, we came to the Lord a little later in life, and maybe that's maybe difficult. But maybe you could bring your grandchildren to church and serve the Lord as a grandma and grandpa and a grandchildren. But let's work at that. Hebrews chapter 3. Then I want to thank everybody for Friend Day. Listen, all these Friend Day contracts are adults that are planning on being here on Friend Day. And so we got the teenagers in elementary over there. Thank you for being involved and getting involved. And we look forward to a great Friend Day. There will be a baby dedication after the service here. So if you're here and you plan on dedicating your baby, that'll be great. Now, this morning I'm going to start a series on stress. Stress. Okay, you say, are you for it or against it? I'm against me having stress. Sometimes I'm glad I give other people stress. A series on stress and overcoming stress in a biblical way, okay? Stress. Overcoming stress God's way. Now, Jesus said he came that we might have life and have a more abundant or a life that would be a higher quality of life. Christians, because of God and his word, should have a higher quality of life than we did as an unsaved person. And let me just say this. This morning, I'm preaching to myself. This study has been very helpful for me because I'm prone to being stressed. Okay, you got a lot of responsibilities. I have 8 children. One's out of the home. Doesn't really matter. Someone once said, I'm not concerned about my kids when they're in the home. Once they get married, that's when they really start giving us problems. And then we have a growing church. When you're older, when you go to the doctor, they don't always talk about physical stuff. They say, what's going on in your life right now? Your blood pressure is a little high, okay? I've been having some heart, chest pain, okay? Well, we've taken the EKG. We've got you on the treadmill, and your heart's fine. But do you have any stress in your life, okay? And whenever they say that, I got to tell them the truth. I said, man, yeah, I have 8 children. I got a church. We got a building program. We have a college. I have assistant pastors. Man, they're real stressful, okay? And so if we look at God's word, by the way, you're going to, I'm not a doctor, but I've done some study. I've done study on the internet. There's a little book. Actually, I had it, lost it, got it from Brother Myers this past week and looked at it. It's a good book. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Some of us don't need to quit eating quarter pounders with cheese. What we need to do is deal with our stress scripturally, okay? Some of us don't need medication. What we need, look, a lot of health problems, I'm going to quote some doctors this morning and tonight. Don't miss tonight, okay? We're going to talk about how anger causes stress, okay? But a lot of us, man, by the way, I take vitamins, I take fish oil, I take two different fish oils. I take vitamins. I take vitamin C. I take multiple vitamins. I take vitamin B. I inject vitamin B12. No, I'm just kidding. I do it. I had carrot juice this morning. I had a spinach salad. But let me say this. You can do all that and still have a stroke. and still have a heart attack. Because stress, God did not make our body to handle things. Guilt, your body, listen, guilt is worse than pig meat. Okay? How many like pork chops? How many know pork chops aren't good for you? All right. Okay, eat the pork chop, get rid of the guilt, anger, bitterness, envy. I want that. Envy and jealousy. Okay? So anyway, I think I got your attention. All you young people are going, I'm not stressed out. You know, what's for? Who's playing football today? Get a little older, start having children, get married. All the wives are stressed out because they married the wrong dude, you know. By the way, once you get married, he's the right dude, okay? And just to let you know, oh, I got the wrong one. No. He was the wrong one before you got married. Now you're married, he's the right one. So I can't figure that out. Well, we'll talk about that later. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8. By the way, I'm not against a Sabbath, taking a day off, but really our rest is not a Sabbath, though it's okay to take a rest, and there's I read three books about that. But our rest is in Christ, okay? But if we're not taking his word and applying it to our lives, we won't have that rest. You're either resting or you're restless. Restlessness is stress, okay? Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, talking about God's people and their lack of faith. In the Bible, we call it an evil heart of unbelief. When your fathers tempted me, verse 9, proved me and saw my works 40 years. By the way, if you have a pen, you can circle this word. We're gonna run into the word rest about, I don't know, 8, 9, 10, 11 times or so here. Verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. Into my what class? Circle that word if you write in your Bible, rest. By the way, a lot of people, they go to sleep, but they're not resting. Okay, by the way, I'm one of them sometimes. I slept all the way through last night. About 5 o'clock, 5:15, all the way through. I'm like, wow, what I do? Maybe it's because I'm studying stress and overcoming stress, and I'm not so stressful. Amen? verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. By the way, you ever wonder why little kids can sleep through everything? It's because they have no stress. My children, they have beds, but they can sleep on, we have a hardwood floor. They can sleep on the hardwood floor, go to bed. I'm telling you, earthquakes, we can throw firecrackers in the living room, they won't budge. We have a fire alarm in our house. Sometimes, you know, the toaster burn or something, my kids won't budge. One flea comes in my bedroom, like all the way at the end of the bedroom, I wake up. Say, what? We're bringing stress to bed. Okay, kids don't have any stress. Look at verse 15. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that, sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear that they should not enter into his rest. Can everybody say rest? You might want to circle that. Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief, a lack of faith. A lack of faith. Let us, verse chapter 4, verse 1, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his, what is it, class? Rest. He wants us to rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Verse 3, For we which have believed do enter into, say it class, rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my, say it class, rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. God has given us as Christians the rest that we need. For he, verse 4, spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter in my rest, we want God's rest. Look, please, I am sure, I don't know who it is, I'm sure somebody here tonight, not tonight, this morning, you take sleeping pills, okay? And don't go home and take off the sleeping pills and take off the antidepressants and kill your husband. But let me say this. There is a scriptural way to get off all the psych meds, all the sleeping pills, all the anxiety. Look, I promise you, there's probably 20 or 30 people in here. Maybe it could be more, it could be less. You're taking anxiety medication. You're taking antidepressants. We work with people, and I know that they don't want to tell people, but let me just say this. Don't go home and take off. I am not telling anybody to get rid of it right now. You need to go about it scripturally because you might be cutting someone's head. I know what happens when you just go cold turkey. But God said there's nowhere in here it says you need medication to have rest. Okay? God will give us rest. Amen?
Seven destructive their sins in our lives that steal the rest from us. Okay, let's slip down to verse 8.
For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. God's people can rest. Verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Father, help us to realize that you, in your goodness, have given us your word to take away rest thieves, to give us rest, so that we can have the abundant life that you have offered us. Teach us now today, and Lord, we'll have a couple more weeks, a couple more services, then tonight as we spend a little bit more time on this principle of overcoming stress God's way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The Lord wants his people to have rest for their souls. By the way, sleeping is not always giving you rest. You ever sleep? Yes, you slept 8 hours, 7, 8 hours. You slept, I don't know how you can do it. Slept 9. Some people, I slept, I don't think I've ever in my whole life ever slept 9 hours or 10 hours. And you're like, man, I feel so unrested. I feel like I'm so tired and restless. Many people, Christians, also are restless and really stressed out. Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for old paths, that's God's way, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. God doesn't want us to just have rest for our body. I'm going to talk about it in just a minute. And Brother Suter spent some time on it. There's three parts of your being, body, soul, and spirit. If you just rest your body but you don't rest your soul, you're not rested. And so thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Stress not dealt with scripturally causes physical, mental, emotional and spiritual problems, or mental, emotional, and spiritual restlessness. Please get this. Stress happens from wrong responses to situations that produce anger, guilt. By the way, we have an angry nation. People going into post offices and killing their employers because they got laid off. Crazy people going into high schools and shooting people up. People going into random places and just shooting. You say, what is that? Anger. We have an angry nation. By the way, we have angry Christians. Angry. There's anger. Anger. Stress happens when happens from wrong responses to situations that produce anger, guilt. I want you to get these seven. I'll say them over and over this morning and tonight and over the next couple weeks. Anger, guilt, lust, okay? Lust, men, you're involved with pornography, you're immoral. You say, well, I'm just immoral in my mind, not physically. You're immoral. You know what that causes? Stress. Stress. There's anger, guilt, lust, bitterness, greed, fear, and envy. These seven stress producers have many horrible consequences. By the way, our men are physically, there is so much stress on people, and we're talking this morning to primarily Christians this morning. If you're not a Christian this morning, this applies to you too. God's principles are universal, non-optional. We want you to get saved today. But the American Institute of Stress reports, get this, that, and this is pretty broad, but 75 to 90% of doctor visits are stress disorders, and they don't even know it. Stress caused it. It's because of stress. Dr. Harold Coeing, co-director of Center for Spirituality, Theology, and Health at Duke University, said there is a growing research documenting that psychological and social, by the way, these people don't validate the Bible, okay? They just sort of discover that the Bible's true, okay? We don't go to the world and say, oh, the world says it, so it must be true. No, God says it, so it's true. They just sort of help us to just, yeah, that is true. We already knew it, but that's sort of, you know, even the world understands this. But he, at Duke University, said there is growing research documenting that psychological and social stresses affect cardiovascular function, the heart, the nervous system, endocrine system, the glands. Am I saying it right? Endocrine, thanks. Instead of my preaching. The glands, the digestive system, and the immune system. Okay? Well, I need to go to the doctor. No, you need to quit stressing out. You know? I need to eat more salads. No, you need to quit stressing out. You can probably have steak and lobster and cookies and cake and Hostess Twinkies. I was reading something, or I don't know, I was reading it or listening to it this week, just in some study. They said, do you know, ever wonder why some people, they live to be 90 and they ate horribly? Because they're not all stressed out. And then here's some people, they eat right and they watch their diet and they drink pure water and they have pure air and they live in a bubble and they die at like 27. A lot of it is stress. I'm getting stressed out just talking about it. Dr. Payne, a medical doctor and member of the American Academy of Family Physicians, said after, he's a Christian, he said after over 20 years as a physician, I'm convinced that resolving stress, can everybody say stress? Through learning and obeying specific biblical principles is not only our best answer to health, this is what he says, but really the only answer to improving our health. Eating right, vitamins, supplements, and supplements are not as important as resolving the issues that cause stress like anger, guilt, lust, bitterness, greed, fear, and envy. This stress book, Brother Myers has it. I had one. I lost. I brought it from here. It just gives medically what each one of these seven, these are really sins, okay? When we just read in Hebrews talking about the evil heart of unbelief, Okay? Each one of these affect your body in a very specific way. To resolve damaging stresses, we must work on having a healthy body. Can everybody say body? Soul. Can you say soul? And spirit. Can you say spirit? However, the spirit is the most important part of our being. You don't need to turn there because of time, but 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the very God of peace. See, what's peace? Stress-free. Peace. Now we want peace. I want peace in my heart. The very God of peace, sanctify. Sanctify means to purify and set apart for God's use. The very God of peace, stress-freeness, sanctify or purify and set you apart for God's use. Sanctify you wholly. That's not H-O-L-Y. That's W-H-O-L-L-Y. In other words, entirely. So God wants to give you peace and set you apart wholly, sanctify you. He wants you to be clean in your body, soul, and spirit. And he said that the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y. And I pray God your whole, W-H-O-L-E, spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, you need to be whole in your body, you need to be whole in your spirit, and you need to be whole in your soul. Most sick people, all they do is they work on their body. Okay? You ever go to those you walk or drive by the, what are those called, health clubs? You see everybody on the, they're all on the treadmills. They're running, and, you know, people are going on like, it looks stupid. But they're trying to keep, and by the way, it's take care of your body. Okay, don't think you can neglect. God did say that's a part of your being, your body. But my belief is we're working too much on our body and not enough on our soul and our spirit. You will never be a whole, H-O-L-E, person unless some people, they're financially fine and they're physically fine and they have money and they seem to have everything in order. They're going, man, something's wrong. It's because their soul and their spirit are empty. Got to have all of them. God says we're a body. And by the way, some people are so spiritual, well, I don't need to take care of my body. That's not what God says. The Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Quit treating it like your dog's doghouse. Okay, take care of the body. Somebody say amen right there. Take care of your body. You know, eat right and take care of your body and don't neglect and abuse the temple of the Holy Spirit. Total health is merely the absence of mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual sickness, which is stress or disease. It is the dynamic and harmonious interaction of the spirit, body, and soul. Please get this. You got to take care of the body in God's way. Then you have to take care of the spirit, God's way, and then you got to take care of the soul God's way. If not, you're going to have stress. By the way, these three, they go hand in hand. You can't neglect one. By the way, if your body, you ever get sick and you go, and I'm not saying you should, I just don't feel spiritual. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't forget, one of our good guys got sick, and he came to me, he's panicking. He was a wonderful, he was just serving the Lord, and he just sort of had a real spiritual lift and was going and walking with God, and he got sick. By the way, a lot of times you get sick, you quit drinking coffee, you don't even know it, you're going through withdrawals. That's a part of your sickness, the caffeine. And he's sick, and he came to me and said, I don't know what's wrong. He says, I don't have the spiritual desire anymore. I said, man, when you get sick, we really usually don't have the spiritual desire. But self-inflicted sickness, because we're not taking the care of the body, it's going to hurt our spirit and our soul. If you're not taking care of the spirit, it can affect your body. If you're not taking care of the soul, it can affect the body and the spirit. Total health begins when we realize we are made of three distinct parts, spirit, soul, and body. This is important because you will never achieve total health. Holy, we just read, whole body, soul, and spirit. This is important because you'll never achieve total health without the knowledge of the interaction of these three parts of your being. Thinking God's way, thinking, right there, God's way through the Bible, God's word is the key to dealing properly with stress. Please look up here. And I've said this before. I went for physical several years ago, and I was having heart pains, stomach stress, chest pains. And the doctor's going and all, he's doing all his tests and everything, and then he sort of gave me a look. He said, "Would you like some anxiety medication?" No! You say, what is that? That's a shortcut. Really, what I needed to do was to give these things that were causing my stress to God, which is faith, and quit letting them stress me out so much. Okay? By the way, that's the easy way, but it's easy at the front. It's not easy later on when you're addicted and your emotions go up and down and up and down because you're addicted to prescription medication. Thinking God's way through the Bible is the key to dealing properly with stress. Believing lies, Brother Suter, I think, preached a message or talked about this, often produce anger and fear that cause us to make unwise decisions that will cause stress. The best way to transform bad thinking that produces stress is to apply God's word to every situation of life. That's it. I know it's not that simple in the sense of you got to be specific, you got to diagnose what's the problem here, but to put it in a nutshell, we're not going into pop psychology, we're just saying the best way to deal with anything is to apply God's word to your life in every area, and it'll prevent you from being stressed out and strokes and heart attacks and all the other stuff. I got to spend a lot of time with Brother Suter when he was here, and we were talking, and I met with him at Brother Kyle's office a few times. And he said, you know, I was working, and I don't think he shared this in the church. He may have shared it in the college. He said, I've watched when dealing with people with these, he may not have mentioned all seven of them, but dealing with anger, guilt, lust, bitterness, greed, fear, and envy. He said, I've watched literally when people get victory, their health is almost, they'll have some debilitating so-called disease, and he said they get this resolved scripturally, and their health is almost immediately healed. He told me, I had an adult he was working with on bitterness, and this adult, their body just sort of little by little quit functioning right, and they were diagnosed with MS. I'm not a medical doctor, and maybe some of you out there, you know more about this, but they said it was sort of like a soft diagnosis. They weren't sure, but they think it was MS. This individual, I think it was a man, was crippled and now in a wheelchair. And they said, we think it's MS. By the way, I don't know. I mean, think. Maybe nice. I guess, you know, maybe they can't, I don't know, how they find out if it is or it isn't. And he said, Pastor Esposito, he said, I was sitting there, and this guy was bitter. And he said, we diagnosed I think it was because he was saying the diagnosis was not real clear, but they said, we're pretty sure it has MS, that's why he's become crippled. He wasn't born crippled. And he said, we dealt with his bitterness. He said, this guy got up off his wheelchair. Now, probably because he's in the wheelchair for a while, he needs some therapy. I mean, he wasn't able to walk like the rest of us. But he said he got up off his wheelchair. He said the bitterness, and if you stay in church here the next couple of weeks, you'll see, we'll quote some many medical doctors that talk about how certain sins, by the way, following God is the best thing for us. God's not trying to rip us off. God says he loves us more than we love our children. I'm not going to do something that's going to hurt my children. God's not telling us to overcome lust and overcome envy and overcome bitterness and overcome all of these, their heart sins or sins of the heart, because he doesn't like us. He wants to help us, and he knows what's best for us. And though maybe he didn't, by the way, we'll even look at some verses in the Bible we've never really thought about. It's like, wow, that is talking about the bones. There's certain sins that affect the bones. Thinking God's way through the Bible is the key to dealing properly with stress. We should do all we can to prevent self-inflicted stress. Saul got envious and jealous towards his own son, Jonathan, and towards David. It was self-inflicted stress. Look, this is going to open a whole new can of worms, but it's a can of worms I open up every once in a while. Do you know music is not all moral? You say, what do I mean? Music in itself, people say, well, it doesn't matter what kind of music, it matters what words go to that music. I'm not a musician. Brother Pineda is. We have others in our church. Music is not all moral. Some music, I don't mean the lyrics. Some of them are very plainly immoral. Some music is not moral. Here's just one example. Let me just say this. Some of us, if we'd change our music, it would be just one less stress problem. Some of us are addicted to the rock beat. And that rock beat is doing something to your soul, which... Now, again, these guys are not inspired by God. They're just researchers. But the medical world says certain music enhances your health. That's your body. We believe certain music enhance your spirit, okay? And certain music enhances or strengthens your soul. Here, this is a quote from the book. If our music is not in harmony with God's universe, and I'm not going to explain that, because the truth of the matter is I didn't take all the notes to explain it. And if you want it explained, I'll get the book for you. If our music is not in harmony with God's universe, and there's a lot of technical stuff to explain there, we will lack inner peace and suffer self-inflicted stress. In other words, you push the button on, and you are just bringing stress into your life. I mean, all you got to do is take that CD out, put another one in, and push it on, and now you're not self-inflicting stress. You're actually bringing harmony to your soul. If our music is not in harmony with God's universe, we will lack inward peace and suffer self-inflicted stress. That will affect our health, our body, that third part of the three-part being. Also, it affects our spirit and our soul. The attraction and addiction to loud, dissonant sound is that it causes a continuous adrenaline rush. This activates other hormonal impulses and disorders. The average American life expectancy is 77 years. By the way, if you move to Hong Kong, it goes up to 83. So maybe when you hit 77, go to Hong Kong, you'll live 6 more years. We found that out on Thursday night. Average American life expectancy is 77 years. A study was done with 300 rock stars that had an average lifespan of 37 years. The moral of the story is don't become a rock star. Get a load of this. While, this one sort of bummed me out right here. While orchestra conductors live a life expectancy of 89 years old. I'm in the wrong occupation. Orchestra conductors don't orchestrate rock and roll concerts. Okay, they're an orchestra. What do you call it? Classical music? I don't know. They have different types of music. 89 years. Right music gives rest that helps your health. Wrong music robs you of rest that causes stress that hurts your health. So if you get nothing today, go home, get a quarter pounder of cheese, take out the rock music, put in some classical music, and you'll live longer. Some of us might need to not spend so much time reading Prevention Magazine and start eliminating some stress from our life. I'm not against Prevention Magazine. I don't get it regularly. I read it every once in a while. You say, what is it? It's a health magazine. Just have preventive health. Worse than a greasy hamburger is anger. Worse than a greasy hamburger is bitterness. Worse than a greasy hamburger is lust. Worse than a greasy hamburger, and these are seven sins I'm going to deal with over the next couple weeks. I start tonight with anger. So you want to be here tonight. So, oh, it's my husband that's angry. Well, you come, you'll learn how to deal with him. Worse than a greasy hamburger is anger, a bitterness. Worse than a greasy hamburger is lust. Worse than a greasy hamburger is guilt. Worse than a greasy hamburger is greed. Worse than a greasy hamburger is fear. And worse than a greasy hamburger is envy. So the moral of the story is I'll meet you at In-N-Out after church. Five guys? I thought there were six. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Let's stand.